essay. St Catherine's School old girl, Lady Cohen, Chair of School Council, Miss Jane Hodder, and members of the School Council. Invited guests from the Jane Goodall Institute in Australia, Roots and Shoots, and all students and staff from St Catherine's and our local schools. I am delighted to have the honour of introducing Dr. Jane Goodall, also known as Dr. Jane, to our audience this morning. Over 60 years ago, Dr. Jane commenced her study of chimpanzees in the Gombe Stream National Park in Tanzania. In courageously entering the mysterious world of wild chimpanzees, Dr. Jane was equipped with little more than a notebook, binoculars, optimism, and a desire to learn more about these incredible animals. Dr. Jane won the trust of the chimpanzees, and through her research, she has illuminated the intelligence of these beautiful animals. Dr. Jane has quite simply contributed to one of the greatest studies of primates the world has ever seen. With the documented shifts in global climate, displacing chimpanzees and thousands of other species, Dr. Goodall's quest for animal welfare and conservation is at the forefront of her work today and that of her Roots and Shoots organisation, established in 1991. Dr. Jane is now known around the world as a dame, UN Messenger of Peace, conservationist, primatologist, ethologist, anthropologist, and the world's foremost expert on chimpanzees. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Jane.
So good. Do I need this? This works, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
So good morning, everyone. And you see, I brought the rain with me, but when we needed it, the sun came out. So that's pretty good. Anyhow, I've just toured the new science lab. Very impressive. Talked to some of the students who I imagine are here. And so I don't have very long, and I'm going to jump right into the message I want to give. But first of all, I'll give you a proper greeting, and that's what you'd hear if you came to Gombe National Park. That simply means, this is me, this is Jane. And it's how the chimps identify each other, because they don't travel around in a troop, but sometimes by themselves, and sometimes they need to meet up with other members of the community. And I'm not going to go into their behavior because I think most of you have seen the movie Jane or perhaps some of the other documentaries and read some of the books. I want to say first, many people have helped me along my life's journey, and there's some here in this room today, the JGI people, some very old friends. But the person I will always thank most is my amazing mother, because when I was 10 years old and I dreamed of going to Africa, living with wild animals and writing books about them, because I just read Tarzan of the Apes and fell in love with Tarzan and the silly man married the wrong Jane, but of course I knew there wasn't a Tarzan, but that's when my dream began. And everybody laughed at me, how will you get to Africa? It's far away, you don't have any money. World War II was raging. It was a very dark world back then. You know, two of my uncles were killed, shot down in the war with Germany, and everything was rationed. But where other people laughed and said, Jane, you had better dream about something else. You'll never get to Africa. You're just a girl. Girls didn't do that sort of thing back then. But my mother always said, if you really want this, you're going to have to work really hard, take advantage of opportunities, but don't give up. So, as you know, I did get to Africa. It was hard work. I had to save up for it. And eventually, I heard about this paleontologist, Dr. Lewis Leakey. And somebody said, Jane, if you're interested in animals, you should meet Lewis. So I met him, and I think he was impressed by how much I knew about African animals just by reading books and spending hours in the Natural History Museum in London when I had a job there. And so he gave me this amazing opportunity to go and live with and learn from, not just any animal, but the one most like us. And as some of you know, chimps are our closest living relatives. They differ from us in the structure of DNA by only just over 1%. And there are amazing similarities in the structure of the blood, the composition of the immune system, and the anatomy of the brain. Also, postures and gestures, kissing, embracing, holding hands, patting on the back, sort of gestures that we use and they use them in the same context, begging for food, swaggering, shaking the fist, using and making tools, and using rocks as weapons, and they can have very good aim. I came to know them as individuals, and I came to understand their different personalities, and I began to learn about the relationship between a mother and her growing family, and these are bonds that can last throughout life. I learned that, you know, some males compete very strongly for dominance, and when they're competing, some of them are very aggressive. Others just put on a lot of bluff and swaggering and make themselves look big and fierce, and they remind me of some human politicians. So, at any rate, I was very shocked to discover that, like us, they have a dark and brutal side. And occasionally, fights between two males competing for top-ranking alpha position can lead to very serious wounds and lead to the loser being exiled from the community. But the worst was learning that they can show a kind of primitive warfare, as when patrolling males, they have a territory, and they see an individual from a neighboring social neighboring community, and they will give chase. And if they catch that victim, he or she is likely to die of wounds inflicted. And there was a 4-year period when males of a larger group exterminated all individuals, males and females, of the smaller group. And it was a big shock. And it made me think about our human behavior. It's pretty clear if you look around the world that we have a dark and aggressive side, as well as a compassionate and loving side, just as the chimps also have a compassionate and loving side. But when we come to violence, aggression, and war, you realize the difference between their kind of warfare, which is something triggered by, I see an enemy over there, I'm going to run and attack. And our kind of war today, which is based on trying to lay claim to supplies of oil and gas, or people fighting because they want power. And it makes you realize the biggest difference between chimps and humans is the explosive development of the intellect. And yeah, chimps are way more intelligent than we used to think. And so are other animals. That's why I brought Ratty there. And Piglet, please, after this, Google Picasso, not Picasso the artist, Picasso, and you'll see what I mean. I haven't got time to go into it now. But animals are way more intelligent, even octopus. Google octopus and coconut shells, and you'll see what I mean. But we've designed a rocket that goes up to Mars, from which a little robot crept off, took photos. And at one time, people thought Mars might support life. We now know, thanks to human technology, Mars can't support life. And so we've just got this one green planet. How is it possible that the most intellectual creature to ever walk this planet is destroying its only home? And you're lucky. You're in a school where you get a good education, and you get to learn about how we're polluting the water, how we're polluting the ground, how we're spreading poisonous chemicals to grow our food. You get to learn how the waste from agriculture, industry, and household gets washed down into the rivers and into the ocean. Oceans becoming increasingly acidified can't do their job properly, which is absorbing CO2 and giving out oxygen. Our rainforest, the other great lung of the world, being destroyed so fast, and they too absorb CO2 and give out oxygen. These so-called greenhouse gases, mainly carbon dioxide, CO2, but another very important greenhouse gas is methane. And that comes from the digestive process, or that's one source of it. Today, more and more people eat more and more meat. Billions of animals are shut into these terribly cruel factory farms, have to be fed, grow the grain, destroy the environment to grow it, masses of fossil fuel to get the grain to the animals to slaughter, and the meat to the table. And they all produce methane in their digestive process, just as we all do as well. It's adding hugely to the greenhouse gases. You know in Australia about shortage of water, and it takes a lot of water to turn vegetable into animal protein. And that's why eating less meat or no meat is something everybody can do to help the environment. It was when I realized that if we don't work with the local people in Africa to improve their lives when they're living in abject poverty, if we don't work with them to improve their lives, there's no way we can save the vanishing chimpanzees. So we have a program that you can learn about called Take Care or Takari, and it's now in 7 different African countries. And because we help the people to help themselves, then they've now become our partners in conservation. So thousands of chimps are alive today in forests that would have been destroyed. So as I'm traveling around the world raising awareness about all these things and many more, also trying to raise money because it's expensive to keep up our programs in Africa, that also include looking after orphan chimps whose mothers are being killed for bushmeat or else to steal the babies to sell them as pets or for entertainment overseas. So we have a very big sanctuary in Republic of Congo looking after these orphans, very expensive. Some of you may have seen the video where I released the chimpanzee wounder. If you haven't, I'm sure we can arrange for you to see it. And we also have a sanctuary in South Africa for orphan chimps. But as I'm traveling around, I'm meeting so many young people like your age who didn't seem to have much hope for the future. Mostly they were just apathetic, sometimes angry, sometimes really depressed. Why? Well, they said, you've compromised our future and there's nothing we can do about it. So if you believe that older generations have compromised your future, you are 100% right. There's a saying, we haven't inherited this planet from our parents, we borrowed it from our children. We have not been borrowing your future. We've been stealing it, and we're still stealing it today. But is it right that there's nothing you can do about it? No, that's wrong. There's a window of time. I'm sure there's a window of time, and other scientists believe that too. But it's not a big window, and it's closing all the time. We have to act. But there is still time if we get together that we can start healing some of the wounds we've inflicted on poor old Mother Earth, who's crying to us for help today. And we can start slowing down this climate change that is showing its effects everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, weather patterns are altered. So that's when I began Roots and Shoots, which some of you are a part of. Just stand up for a minute, all the Roots and Shoots students here. Are there any? Come on, stand up if you're anything or know about Roots and Shoots. I thought there were more. Well, I'm not coming back unless we do a bit better than that. At any rate, Roots and Shoots began with 12 students in Tanzania in 1991, and they were bothered about all sorts of things going on around them, ranging from street children with no homes to the poaching of animals in the national parks and the illegal dynamite fishing, destroying the coral reefs and the fish. And so we got together from 8 different schools and we designed this program where the main message is every single one of us makes an impact on the planet every single day. Every day you live, you make some difference. You can't live through a day without making a difference. And you get to choose what sort of difference you make. If you're really poor, you can't choose. You just have to do whatever you can to stay alive. But you can choose. You can choose what you eat, what you buy, what you wear, and think about the consequences, not just for you now, but for future generations, because that's what's gone wrong. Disconnect between clever brain and love and compassion in the human heart. And I don't think we'll ever attain our true human potential until head and heart work in harmony. And we start thinking about the effect of the little choices we make each day. So Roots and Shoots is now in over 60 countries, and it's growing all the time. We have members in preschool, lots in kindergarten, very strong university, very strong high school, and everything in between. About 150,000 active groups. And what makes Roots and Shoots different from all the other environmental groups, all the other youth groups that I've met, is that we care about people, animals, and the environment, because it's all interwoven in the great tapestry of life. And so if you join Roots and Shoots, and I do hope some of you will, you get together with a group of your friends and you talk about what you care about. Some of you will care about plastic, some about palm oil, some about stray dogs, some about hurricane victims in a far-off country. So between you, you choose three projects, one to help people, one to help animals, one to help the environment. And then you work out what you can do, and then you roll up your sleeves and you go out and you take action. And my greatest hope for the future of the planet, where some scientists tell us we're doomed, that we're already on the downward path towards destruction. And of course, life on this planet will never be exactly as it was when I was your age, but we can make it an awful lot better if we get together and if we take action. And so a little while ago, I was in Tanzania, where Roots and Shoots began, and I was with a group of high school and university students. They were Christian and they were Muslim, all working together, because that's part of Roots and Shoots, that we don't see barriers between people of different cultures, nationalities, people with different religions. We're all human beings. We all have a responsibility to each other and to this country and to the animals with whom we share or should share this planet. So can we get together and make this a better world? I'm sure some of you here would like to. So at the end of this morning I had with these students in Tanzania, they've been telling me about all their amazing projects. And then at the end, they have a saying, together we can, together we will. So I want you to join in that with me, because together we can, together we will. Come on, now that's not very... I want you all to stand up. Now, let's try again. Together we can, together we will. That's better. Thank you.
Dr. Goro, we thank you for coming to our school and speaking to us today. We feel so very fortunate and grateful for your visit. The junior school has been learning all about you, and the things that stand out for us in our research of you and from listening to you today are your courage and self-belief. You traveled to Africa at the age of 23 to follow your dreams, to study animals. Your persistence. You found ways to be accepted by the chimpanzees and you studied them for over 40 years. Your power of observation. From your first observation of a chicken laying an egg to your discovery that chimpanzees made and used tools. Your observations proved a closer link between primates and humans than had been previously thought. Your passion. You not only studied animals, but you advocate and work for them and their habitats. Your dedication. To tour and educate people about animals and the need for their protection. And the message. We can all make a difference to the future of the world, ours and theirs. On behalf of everyone here today, we hope you'll accept this token of our appreciation.
Turn the microphone on. Good morning, and thank you for all attending this morning's very special assembly. I certainly endorse the words of our young Barbaric captains, Audrey and Chloe, and wish to share my appreciation and gratitude to Dr. Jane for visiting our school today. Your story is one of inspiration and encouragement for not only the students attending, but also for the parents and the teachers and the staff here today. It's wonderful to share this privilege of hosting Dr. Jane in our school with our Barbaric girls in year 4 to 6, and I love that you all stood up to Dr. Jane's question about roots and shoots. Also our senior students, but we have also invited some students from local schools as well, so welcome to St. Catharines. Today we truly recognise what an honour and a privilege it is to hear your wisdom reflecting 60 years of the most inspirational research, and now a united global push through Roots and Shoots programs to care for our environment and to ultimately protect all creatures, not just the chimpanzees. I wish to personally thank Dr. Sarah Triolo, State Coordinator of Jane Goodall's Roots and Shoots program, and the attendees from the Jane Goodall Institute who are hosting Dr. Jane for 4 days in Melbourne. I hope the weather improves for you. As a global network of young people, Roots and Shoots is quite simply a message of hope, fostering in young people across the globe, as you just heard, a belief that every action, both locally and globally, can and will make a difference. We are delighted, Dr. Jane, that you have accepted our invitation to officially unveil the plaque for the 6 refurbished science laboratories in the Edna Holmes Centre for Science. Edna Holmes, whom this building is named after, was a past principal in the 1940s. And today we have 2 very special guests who were actually students at the time of Edna Holmes's headship. So girls, I would like you to give me a very warm welcome, and a very warm welcome for Lady Southey and Lady Cowan, who are also here today. So welcome. Since this building was originally opened in 1963, the Science Wing, as it was known then, has had 3 lives, educating and inspiring young women to venture towards careers in science. In recent years, approximately a third of our Year 12 graduates have selected STEM-related tertiary courses. Following a substantial rebuilding project, the Science Wing was reopened in 1993, and it was opened by Lady Cowan's late husband, Sir Zelman Cowan. And it's so lovely and fitting that you are here today again. Thank you very much for coming. Dr. Jane, I'm immensely proud to provide an opportunity to enable your name to be etched on this plaque to be located in the Edna Holmes Centre for Science. This plaque will remain in the building for years to come. It is quite simply a point in time for our school, an historical marker of this special occasion, but I believe your name on this plaque will serve as a continual reminder for generations of St. Catharines girls to come. A call to action, so to speak, for the conservation of our environment, the awareness of animal welfare issues, and forever in our minds, the impact of one woman's research, the foremost expert on chimpanzees. I'd now like to invite Jane and Jane, our Chair of Council, Jane Hodder, to step forward and to unveil this plaque, which will be relocated to the Edna Holmes Centre for Science. We have a busy schedule for Dr. Jane today. She will now be venturing down to Barbaric, were our ELC children and our preppies, grade ones, twos and threes, and the Barbrick Environment Committee, very enthusiastic about asking Dr. Jane some questions and also telling them about their work in the Environment Committee in Barbrick. So girls and invited guests, can you please join me once again for thanking Dr. Goodall this morning.
Can you all please stand for the recessional and enjoy watching Dr. Goodall's video, Making a Difference.
It's been an amazing journey, this life of mine. This planet has filled me with the wonder of all living things, great and small. We cannot ignore this earth that surrounds us, that feeds us, shelters us, replenishes our bodies and our souls, and stretches our imaginations, where animals, plants, air, water, all care for us. We're all interconnected, people, animals, our environment. When nature suffers, we suffer. And when nature flourishes, we all flourish. I do believe in the possibility of a world where we can live in harmony with nature, but only if every one of us does our part to make that world a reality. So that when you look back over your journey, your life, you can truly say, I did make a difference.